This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's focus on our story of the day. Today, as many of you have heard, the BC government talked about its 3-year trial for drug decriminalization. Essentially, as we heard in the news, what it means is that starting tomorrow, adults with up to 2.5 grams of drugs for personal use, including opioids, cocaine, MDMA, will not be arrested or charged. The government said that is to reduce the shame and stigma surrounding drug use. And the province says it wants to keep people from getting help. Now, today, the federal and provincial government held a joint press conference to talk about the change of law tomorrow. They went out of their way to say that this is not drug legalization. Here is Federal Mental Health Minister Carolyn Bennett.
All activities with illegal drugs, including production, trafficking, import, and export, remain illegal. We will work closely to evaluate and monitor its implementation to ensure that this exemption continues to meet public health and public safety objectives.
Now, it's important to note, in the last 7 years, toxic drugs have killed almost 11,000 people here in British Columbia. It's an issue that Jennifer Whiteside, the Minister of Mental Health and Addiction, has brought up many times. And she said part of what they're doing today is trying to show compassion to individuals. Take a listen.
People found in possession of a small amount of certain illegal drugs for personal use will not face criminal charges, fines, or have their drugs confiscated. Instead, they will be offered information about health and social supports, local treatment, and recovery services. Instead of being treated as criminals, they will be treated with care and compassion.
You know, this is a big announcement when the federal and provincial minister hold a press conference together today before things change tomorrow. Well, joining us now to talk a little bit about tomorrow is Jessica Cooksey. She's the director of operations at the Last Door Recovery Society here in Vancouver. Jessica, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
First of all, your thoughts on what is transpiring tomorrow. Are you supportive of it, or are there any concerns on your mind?
I am 100% supportive of anything that reduces people's exposure, interactions with police in regards to their substance use. Mm-hmm. I do have some concerns outside of the actual decriminalization policy changes.
Mm-hmm. In regards to speaking to addicts at your recovery society, have they talked about this change and whether or not they think it's the right way to go? Because they understand addiction, they know addiction, they've been around those that are addicted, dealing with substance abuse issues. What have you been hearing from them?
I've been hearing things in the public, and I've been hearing things from my friends, colleagues, family members, and people's relationship with substances. And this lands on everyone. There's substance use in every community. So there, I guess the question from our stakeholders is what resources and what accessibility and what's the plan for access to resources for the public, say, mm-hmm. physicians, housing, employment, supports for education, all of those. We're already talking about, like, how can we increase access to those? And this decrim is going to have results not only in people who qualify for the criteria of a substance use disorder, but those recreational users who have experienced having criminal records for personal possession in the past and in the future, and that will decrease barriers for people to reach out for help.
Oh, so you think we need to go even further in regards to people's records?
Well, I think that this decriminalization for personal use will hopefully make the criminal records for personal possession in the future extinct, so that if they're not having interactions with police, if they're not getting charged, then they do have the ability, or they're more likely to reach out for help. What that help looks like and how accessible that help is, we have work to do collectively in this province and in this country, to speak candidly.
Now, before we get to some of the other things you'd like to see, because I think that's part of the conversation, very important part of it, the reality is the Vancouver police haven't been arresting people when they have hard drugs on them, a small personal use, and that's been stated.
I have heard that, and I commend them for being ahead of the curve and start actioning what people who have been advocating for this for year over year over year, day after day, and that they have taken action to stop arresting people for personal possession. I don't know if that's across the board, but if it is happening, I commend that action, and I hope that the frontline workers are continuing the hard work of linking people up with life-saving measures.
But if the police have already said they're not doing that, does that also tell you, though, that simply decriminalization won't work? Because we continue to see deaths, as I said, almost 11,000 in 7 years here in British Columbia. One could also point out that if this is continuing, the police haven't been arresting people who have small amount of drugs on them. It also says that we need to be doing more in regards to what you've already said, which is actually spending more money on health, access to education, housing. Doesn't that point to perhaps those types of services rather than less about decriminalization?
Well, decriminalization is a piece of that. There are so many pieces of the matrix of recovery-oriented systems of care that are necessary to ensure all of our wellness. Even people without a relationship with substances who are trying to access healthcare, housing, education, employment. We know that there are challenges for every citizen in British Columbia. So there are key pieces that there needs to continue to be work on those key pieces. So pointing the finger at decriminalization or treatment beds or medications, it's not going to be the silver bullet. It all needs to be. All hands on deck on this one.
I had Pierre Poilievre on the show last week, the Conservative Party leader, and he wasn't too happy with where British Columbia is going on this issue. He said they should be looking at Alberta, which has been focusing on more treatment, better focus on access to education, better access to housing. That's the way to go. And, of course, more treatment beds, all those things that you're talking about. But the specific issue of decriminalization, he says, that's not the direction we should be going into. We should be looking at those other issues that you're talking about. What do you say to that argument?
I'm encouraging all governments, all policy level, continue to action the evidence and the research about recovery-oriented systems of care. Mm-hmm. Recovery-oriented systems of care is inclusive of harm reduction services, is inclusive of housing, education, connection to self and others. So if we're going to roll out recovery-oriented systems of care, we need to be doing that 100% of the time. We can look to other countries. We can look to our colleagues and our friends in south of the border who have been operationalizing recovery-oriented systems of care for quite some time. The month of September could be, an awareness month. There's a lot of actions and entry points that we could utilize. I'll save the political platforms to the politicians as they are more well-versed on that. All I can speak to is my experience from a bed-based treatment operator.
Do you like what they're doing in Alberta?
So far, it looks really promising.
Yeah.
Anything that increases access to life-saving services is meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. I've worked in the addiction recovery field for 2.5 decades, and I've met the most incredible people who go on to live purpose-driven lives, who become citizens, who help others day in, day out. So anything to help people near and dear to my heart, I'm all for.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have some phone numbers you wanted to let our listeners know about in regards to if those that did want to help. What were the numbers that you wanted to provide?
Yes, and it's not a foolproof system, but first and foremost, anyone in the public can call 811 and speak with a health service navigator, and they can help link you up with a start of accessing services. Or there's a 1-800 number for substance use and mental health services, which is 1-800-663-1441. And I want to thank you for holding space so that we could actually talk about where to get help as well. I really appreciate that. It's really ethical of you.
And I have the number, and I will mention it again in our next segment as well. Jessica, thank you so much for your time today, and I look forward to having you on the show again, because this is not an issue that goes away in a day or two. We have to continue to talk about the challenges that are there for many British Columbians. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.